Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon this Palm Sunday weekend. And I'd like to wish you a happy Palm Sunday. And also, I'd just like to tell you how great it is that we're going to celebrate Easter next week. And I have a special Easter message coming. The title of it is The Resurrection and the Afterlife. The Resurrection and the Afterlife. So I hope you'll tune in and get your friends to tune in. We're going to have a salvation appeal and a sinner's prayer on air. And if you've got relatives in town and you can help them to listen or whatever, it's only a 30-minute message. It's a short one. Might even be 29 minutes. So, gosh, I sure hope that you'll appreciate trying to get the message next week to friends and neighbors and relatives who know the Lord and who don't. Okay, now this weekend we're going to continue in our study of the Gospel of John. We could skip ahead to John 12, to the triumphal entry, but we're going to be there in a few weeks anyway. So I'm just going to keep going, even though it is Palm Sunday, in John chapter 11. So let's pray. Here we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for the eternal Word of God. Thank you for the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, this is a linchpin for our faith, and that it is a fact, not an assumption. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would take the eternal Word of God today, and that you would really challenge and encourage our hearts with it, Lord, and use it in a mighty way to bring fortitude to our life as we seek to follow you in all of our ways. We commit our time in the Scripture to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And what do we say? Come on now. Amen. And what? Amen. You're right. Now, here at Lon Solomon Ministries, what do we study? Say it with me. We study the Bible. Come on. The whole Bible, come on, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply to our lives, which is exactly what we're going to do today. And we're using the New King James version of the Bible for our New Testament readings. And so today we are in John 11 as we pick back up our study of the Gospel of John. Now, in the first message on the Gospel of John, we did the first two verses in the chapter. In our second message on the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we did the second set of two verses, verses 3 and 4. And the third message that we did last week from John chapter 11, we did verses 5 and 6. So in 3 weeks, we've done six verses. You say, oh, baby, at that pace. Listen, there's no hurry to get through the Bible. The Lord Jesus, like I said last week, if he comes back and we're still in studying John chapter 11, praise the Lord. But we are going to move a little faster today. So take heart, those of you out there who are worried that we're only going two verses at a time. But these are rich verses. You can't just skip them. Okay, so we're going to pick up John chapter 11. Let's pick up in verse 5. Remember, Lazarus is sick, and Mary and Martha sent to Jesus, who was down across the Jordan River, a few hours from Bethany, by foot. Okay, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and Lazarus. So, when he heard, Jesus did, that Lazarus was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was, down near Jericho, just across the Jordan River. We talked last week about how this is an oxymoron, these two verses juxtaposed to one another. He loved Lazarus, but he waited 2 days so that Lazarus died before he actually headed towards Bethany. My message last week, you need to listen to that, our oxymoronic God. It'll encourage your heart. Now, because God often does things this way, and it doesn't mean he's not in control or that he doesn't love you. Listen to my message. Okay, now, verse 7. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, after what? After 2 days, let us go to Judea again. Remember, he's across the Jordan River in what today would be the country of Jordan. And his disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? I remember almost every meeting that the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem had with Jesus ended with them picking up stones to throw at him. It just happened in John chapter 10, the preceding chapter, when they said, we're stoning you for claiming to be God. You remember that? Okay, now, and Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him out of sleep. This is a very common euphemism in the New Testament for having died as a believer. It doesn't mean you're not awake and aware and in heaven with the Lord. To be absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5, is to be present with the Lord. It's just a euphemism that we're not dead, we're just sleeping. This is what when Jesus came in and Jairus' daughter had died. He said to the women who were there mourning, don't worry, she's just sleeping. It's a euphemistic term. Okay, Lazarus was dead. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called Didymus, meaning the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Okay, that's as far as we're going to go today. And Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there so that now I can go raise him from the dead, verse 15, so that you'll believe. And Thomas said, let's go with him and die with him. you know, I always love thinking about this verse because I think this, Thomas said it like, okay, we might as well go with him and we might as well die with him. Reminds me of you-know-who from Winnie the Pooh. Who does this remind you of? What Winnie the Pooh character? Well, Eeyore, of course. Oh, me, it's so bad, my lost my tail. Of course he reminds you of Eeyore. Thomas Eeyore says, let us also go with him that we may die with him. Hey. Anyway, now, this is a great passage. And the first thing today I want to do with us from this passage is take us back to verse 9. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. Amazing comment. And Jesus has made similar comments also prior to this. The Bible actually calls Jesus the light. I want you to go, come back with me. Let's go back to John chapter 1 at verse 4. In him was life, the Bible says, and this life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 8, John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. This is what Jesus is called, the light, with capital L here. And this is the condemnation. Chapter 3 of John, listen, verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Look, that light has come into the world. Who was that? The Lord Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus is the light. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, who only, that is the Lord, has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. This is God the Father. We've obviously, they were able to see the Lord Jesus when he took on human form. God the Father lives in unapproachable light. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Says this, verse 5 says, and this is the message which we have heard from him, that is the Lord Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus calls himself the light that came into the world here in John chapter 11. And when men walk in the light, meaning in him, they can see where they're going and they don't stumble. And when we come to Christ, look what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. It says, you who are believers are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says about us as believers, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him, watch, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous, what? Light. Yes. So Jesus here in John chapter 11 declares himself to be the light. Now, that's awesome. But what difference does it make for you and me? Or to ask that question another way, how do we ask it? Come on, say it with me. Come on. One, two, three. So what? That's right. So what? That Jesus is the light of the world. And he calls himself light. And that God dwells in light. And we are sons of light, and not of sons of the darkness. What does that mean on a practical level for us? Well, just before I answer that, how sweet it is. How sweet it is to be sharing the Word of God with you today. How sweet it is that you are not a son of darkness, but you're a son of light, that God called you into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Now, Madonna has a song called Like a Prayer. And she opens the song by singing, life is a mystery, is the first line of the song, which was repeated in the song later. Life is a mystery. Now, that was true for me for the first 22 years of my life. Life was a mystery. I didn't know where I'd come from. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know why I was here on earth. I didn't know what the purpose of my life was. I had no reason towards the end of that time for even getting up in the morning. I had no no purpose. I had no transcendent meaning to my life at all. Yeah, I would play cards or smoke dope or sit around on campus at UNC Chapel Hill, or I had no idea what the purpose of my life was, or why I was even here. As Madonna put it, life for me was a mystery. But then I met Christ, and after I met Christ, that was taken care of, that was fixed, that was made whole. I've never had that problem since. And maybe some of you are wondering about the same thing. Even as a believer, you're wondering a little bit. I hope today, after listening to me, we're going to fix that. Now, let me show you another verse here in the scripture. Turn with me, or let us put it up on the screen, John chapter 8. Look what John chapter 8, verse 12. Here's what Jesus said. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, now look at this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. And look at chapter 12 of John's gospel, verse 46. Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world. Now watch. That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Awesome! People who have no idea what the purpose of their life is, who just think it's all some kind of mad existence, craziness, meaningless. You know? Friends, once we know Christ, this problem should be fixed. Jesus said, look what he says right here. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Look what he said in John chapter 8. Let me remind you again. Verse 12. He who follows me, look at this, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My friend, when we come to Christ, suddenly we should have a solution for the rest of our life to that problem. What is the meaning of my life? What is the purpose of my life? I know where I came from now. God, before I was even born, Psalm 139, knew every single day of my life and put me here on earth. And what is my purpose? What is the meaning of my life? Here it is. I'm going to give it to you, and then we're done. 2 Corinthians, don't ever forget this verse, memorize it, chapter 5, verse 15. For look at this, and he, Christ, died for all of us who are believers, that those who live, those of us who come to Christ and we're living, watch, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. There it is, folks. Your transcendent purpose for living as a believer in Jesus. My transcendent purpose for living. A purpose for living that has an eternal component. Your purpose for living that has an eternal meaning. And what is that meaning? We no longer live for ourselves. Look at the verse. Let's put it back up. That he, those of us who live and believe in Jesus now, we no longer live for ourselves. Look at that. We used to live for ourselves. And living for ourselves resulted in having no transcendent purpose in life. No meaning, eternal meaning in life. It was just like Citizen Kane in the movie, that the more he got, the more it didn't satisfy. That's what living for ourselves brings. It brings no satisfaction, and it brings no eternal component to it whatsoever. We go into the grave, all the toys go back to somebody else. But look what this verse says. Let's go back one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:15. We should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again. I have an eternal purpose. I got it the minute I trusted Christ, and I knew I'd gotten it. You know what it was? Not living for me anymore. My pride, my achievement, my standing, my reputation, my glory, my possessions, but living for Him. Living for Him who died and rose again for me. Living for Him. And that's what I've sought to do for 52 years. Praise the Lord. I've sought to live for Him. I get up every morning for Him. I get up every day and go out to live for His glory. Yeah, I go out every day to obey Him. I go out every day to point people to Him. I end the day by talking to Him. I begin the day by talking to Him. I go all through the day talking to Him. The purpose of my life is to please Him. And the purpose of my life in eternity is to be with Him. I live for Him. And suddenly I'm walking in the light. I'm not walking in darkness anymore. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what my purpose is. I know what the meaning in my life is. It's Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And folks, that should be, if you know Christ, your purpose, your meaning in life, whether you're a college student or a high school student, or whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, every day, whether you're tightening joints on a pipe, whether you're cutting up meat, you're a butcher, whether you're baking a cake, whether you're making a candle, whether you're fixing electrical sockets, whether you're sitting at a desk, whether you're in the military, no matter whether you're teaching school, whether you're staying home and raising children, it doesn't matter. Even and you're, whether you're in the ministry, it doesn't matter vocationally. Every day, in everything we do, we're doing it for Him, for His glory. We're being the best plumber we can be, the best electrician we can be, the most ethical student we can be, the most outspoken teacher or minister we can be for Jesus. You with me? So, no, Madonna, I'm sorry. Life is not a mystery. It's a mystery to people who walk in darkness, yes. But for those of us who know Christ and walk in the light, we have a very simple, clear, non-complicated understanding of what life's all about. It's getting up every day to live for Him. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. And my friend, if you haven't been getting up every single day to live for Him, I want to give you a moment right now to fix that. Because living for yourself will not make you happy. Madonna also said, you know, fame and fortune is not everything it's cracked up to be. Isn't it interesting that the material girl living in the material world has found that material things don't satisfy? They never will, they never have. Only living for Him. So let's take a moment. If we're doing it, let's reaffirm it. If we're not, let's change it as of today. Second Corinthians 5:15. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live, those of us believers still living here on earth, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again, so I know that I'm following the living way to God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me an eternal purpose to live, an eternal reason to get up every day, a transcendent reason to go through life. And that is, I'm living for you. Lord Jesus, make that true of all of us. May that be the goal of our life. No matter what we do vocationally, it doesn't matter, that we are doing it for you. We're tightening pipes for you. We're teaching young people for you. We're raising children for you. We're working at a desk for you. We're going to school and studying for you, so that you can use our lives to bring glory to yourself. Lord Jesus, give us that purpose for living, that we might walk in the light. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Wow. Now, you know, last week I told you I was going to tell you about us starting up programming in the Cayman Islands. And I forgot to do it at the beginning. But I'm not going to take the time now. But the week after Easter, Lord willing, I'm going to remember it, and we're going to go back, and I'm going to tell you about that. It's exciting. Praise the Lord. You say, what's on down there? The 30-minute programming? Your sermons? Yes. You say, what's on down there? Not a sermon, just a thought? Yes. Yes. I'll tell you all about it in a couple weeks. God bless you, and let's go out and live for him.